Universal Studios Singapore, one of Singapore's newest and arguably most ambitious projects, marks a new chapter in tourism. This is one of the many components of the integrated resorts concept introduced by the government in 2005 in an attempt to boost tourism. Boasting a collection of over 20 rides, shows, and attractions, Universal Studios Singapore is the premier theme park in all of Southeast Asia. In this episode, we'll look at the park, explore many of its attractions, savor its food, and have fun riding the movies at Universal Studios Singapore. Thanks for downloading this episode of the first season of Ilun Audio Tours Singapore. This podcast offers reviews, tours, news, and commentaries about Singapore. Traveling through Singapore just got easier. Please, do subscribe on iTunes and rate this podcast and leave your review while you're there. Help spread the word. Thanks. If you like the show, send me feedback at universalssfan@gmail.com or leave a comment at the blog at yilunturs.blogspot.com. That's ilunturs.blogspot.com. It is things like this that spurs me on. Thank you. Universal Studios Singapore, short form USS, started as part of the integrated resorts concept developed by the government. These resorts contain hotels, shows, attractions, museums, and of course a casino. Universal Studios Singapore is a key component in Genting Singapore's bid for Sentosa Integrated Resort. But Genting is not alone, and there were two major contenders, each with spectacular plans. One proposal called for the construction of a volcano caldera at the heart of Sentosa.
I'd like to take you for a spin over my island. Here we are approaching the island off the magnificent coast of Singapore, crossing the causeway to enter beautiful Sentosa. And there's Harry's Island up ahead. The first thing you see is the ultra-luxurious Crown Casino, located next to the chic Crown Towers Hotel, both designed by the renowned architect Peter Marino. Oh, and docked out front are eight of the most captivating motor yachts ever built. Moving east, we're passing over the exclusive mansions by Banyan Tree, also designed by Peter. I have one myself for when my friends stop by. Nestled in the eastern enclave is the Deepak Chopra Center for Well-being, Retreat and Spa. Very tranquil. Rounding the bend now, behold the Hotel Alain Ducasse, an institute for the culinary arts. I call this side of the island the premium, with the Vera Wang Wedding Pavilions, Vera Wang's signature wedding boutique, and her first ever hotel located on the upper floors of the stunning W Hotel. That extraordinary building just across the waterway is the Franco Dragone Theatre. I can't wait to see this creative visionary's live show. Now here we are over the Conference Centre, committed to attracting world-class events and celebrating Singapore as an international destination location. This state-of-the-art facility will be the home for high-profile global conferences and the full-frame documentary film festival, whose advisory board is chaired by my friend, Marty Scorsese. Alongside is the Eighth Wonder Arena, home for exciting concerts, sporting and live events. Designed by one of the world's most beloved architects, Bernardo Fortbrescia of Architectronica, who is also responsible for the Deepak Chopra Retreat, Hotel Alain Ducasse, W, the Vera Wang Establishment, Franco Dragone Theatre, and the Conference Centre. Ever the conservationist, I believe we owe it to Mother Nature and future generations to educate and inform how to take care of our fragile planet. which is why the western end of the island is called Ocean Planet, all designed by the marvelous Walt Geiger and Morris Architects. There's the Explorer Hotel, a true family location, with water park, lazy and whitewater rides, and the most exciting collection of cutting-edge themed attractions. And that's where I live, the Treehouse, with the most fun family suites to be found. For our sea friends, we've created the world's most advanced mammal research and education center, next to the Ocean Planet Institute, where we'll be teaching everyone about good world citizenship. And there's the research vessel Singapore One, crafted by Maurique. Moving on, the Star TV television studio, where we will produce a vast array of television shows, multimedia and special events, documentaries and edutainment that will reach millions of viewers daily. And there Bernardo goes again. As a crazy South American football fan, imagine his delight at designing Gaal, the world's first soccer hotel, surrounding the amazing Pele Stadium. Directly across from Vivo City is Harry's Island Waterfront, featuring Parties Central, jam-packed with fancy shops, nightclubs and restaurants, where every night there's an amazing free multimedia show on the largest LED screen in Asia. If you're like me, you'll love the capitalist toolbox, with everything from the newest, most expensive aircraft, helicopters, cars, and more. And upstairs, the world's first 400 club. Wow, now we're going to the Caldera, where I crash-landed and built Hurricane Harry's Ride Restaurant, another world's first, sitting in the shadow of my pièce de résistance, Harry's Hideaway. Can you believe it? An actual hotel constructed inside a volcanic mountain. Located just beneath the lagoon is the mind-blowing Caldera Theater, the site of a free nightly spectacular. All of these architectural wonders were masterminded by Richard Moran and the incredible Gensler Group. The Caldera, some say, is the eighth wonder of the world. Now we can see the amazing Grand Palace, where kings, presidents, and heads of state are sure to stay. And in front, the Singapore Aquarium, designed by none other than Peter Shemaev and Bobby Poole.
While the other called for a high-tech, futuristic sea life experience resort.
For today. Thanks for joining me.
In comparison, Genting's plans seem highly conservative. It only called for six hotels, a water park, an aquarium, a museum, and Universal Studios Singapore. It was clearly not expected to win. However, the tides were turned when the announcement was made that Genting won the bid. And Resorts World Singapore was to be built. Construction started in early 2006 with the demolition of prior facilities on that piece of land, which included a monorail, a ferry terminal, a run-down water park. Demolition also saw the destruction of the magical Sentosa water fountain with Kiki the Sentosa monkey and many nostalgic moments. A favorite of many. Construction soon ramped up and Resorts World Sentosa along with Universal Studios Singapore was completed in a record-breaking 3 years from 2007 to 2010. The resort opened quietly with little fanfare and only four hotels on 20th January 2010. The four initial hotels are Hotel Michael, Crockford Tower, Festive Hotel, and Hard Rock Hotel. The casino was soon opened on 14th February 2010. And a new chapter in Singapore tourism history was marked as the first legal casino after many decades. The casino and resorts were well received, with hordes of visitors streaming in immediately after opening. Universal Studios Singapore soon opened after that, on 18th March 2010, with seven theme lands, Hollywood, New York, Sci-Fi City, Ancient Egypt, The Lost World, Far Far Away, and Madagascar. Madagascar, a great adventure, however, wasn't open due to technical difficulties. Reviews were generally good, and this marked another milestone, introducing Singaporeans to a new breed of entertainment, the theme park. But not all was rosy. Battlestar Galactica, the roller coaster, closed merely 7 days after opening, and the fault wasn't announced. It was not to open until a year later, when it was found out that a chair fell from the train. Luckily, no one was hurt.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like
on 16th
move it,
February,
like to
Madagascar, move it. A Great Adventure opened, though significantly shorter from the 10 minutes ride as advertised, clocking in as only a 7.5 minutes ride. The ride was also visibly gentle, with no drops, no major special effects, and some rather stiff animatronics stuck on perpetual loop. Well, not all was lost, as Universal Studios Singapore introduced the
3rd December. Premiering at Universal Studios Singapore.
Transformers Ride, a groundbreaking 3D epic motion-based ride with special effects and pyrotechnic explosions on 3rd December 2011. The Maritime Museum and Aquarium on 15th October 2011 also opened, and is a neat museum with some interesting artifacts, as well as the Jewel of Muscat and a Typhoon Theatre. The future looks great for Resorts World Sentosa and Universal Studios Singapore, as more rides and attractions are scheduled to open in the future, such as Stage 28, as well as a whole new section of Resorts World Sentosa that comprises of the world's largest oceanarium, a water park, and some spa villas. We're going to spend the second part of this show walking through the park and enjoying some of the rides, shows, and attractions. So just enjoy. We're now outside the turnstiles for the park entry. It's 2 minutes to 10, the park opening time, and there's a small crowd here. Many have their maps out and are actively discussing their touring plans for the day. Today is a weekday and the crowds are not that heavy, so the park is also closing slightly earlier at 7 p.m. Universal Studios Singapore is located at the west zone of Resorts World Sentosa, which is located on Sentosa Island, a small island off Singapore's mainland, connected to Singapore by a causeway, cable cars, and a monorail. It is Universal Studios' smallest theme park, and is not even run by Universal Studios. Instead, Resorts World Sentosa, a Genting corporation, licenses the rights from Universal Studios and runs it instead. The park is small but compact, packing in over 20 rides, shows, and attractions with lots of dining locations in 7 themed zones. We're now on the Hollywood themed land of the park. This is a section of the park with most of the retail stores and restaurants, all themed to Hollywood of the eras gone by. There is even a Walk of Fame down this Hollywood as well, honoring many stars, many of which not even associated with Universal Studios, such as Walt Disney. When you first walk down Hollywood Boulevard, it's like drinking from a water hose. The sights, the sounds, and even the smells hit you the moment you walk into the park. Once you pass under the Hollywood sign, it's like entering a whole new world. The era music is playing, which is very evocative of the golden age of Hollywood. The smell of the popcorn cart on the boulevard also hits you. There are even meet and greet characters, such as Kung Fu Panda, Woody, etc. Hey look, there's Charlie Chaplin. Now I'm looking up at the sky. So what's so special about this Hollywood theme zone is that there are shade covers on the streets to protect visitors from heat and rain in the Singapore weather. There is also air coolers, which is blowing wind, cool air to keep the temperature cool all year round. And it's very smartly disguised. I'm outside the Universal Studios store, and you can see some of the vents are actually disguised as part of the exterior decor. You know, at the sides of the streets, there are authentically recreated facades that capture some of the iconic buildings in the LA area. This includes the Five and Dine shop, the Dark Room, and even the Brown Derby. We're now at the end of the Hollywood Zone. At this section lies the Parks Lagoon. The central lagoon and all the rest of the theme lands are centered around it. There are also pyrotechnic equipment on it, and as you can see, this is the place where fireworks for Hollywood Night is being launched. Now we're at the New York theme zone of the park. Basically, it's just a sharp right from the Hollywood theme zone. This is an authentic recreation of the New York of days gone by. And you can see very evocative architecture. All the buildings are authentically created, and all the street signs down to the smallest details, such as the pavement and those drains that are leaking steam and leaking water, and all the different signs and writings on the windows. This is highly authentic, and it's as detailed as a movie set. Of course, you can also spot some prominent New York landmarks, such as a building that's very evocative of the Rockefeller Center, and as well as the New York Public Library, and other important New York landmarks. There's also a small alley over here at New York Theme Zone, a small alleyway which links the main drag to the Central Lagoon, and this is a very nice place for you to stroll down and enjoy the details of this area. I'm now standing outside the entrance for Lights, Cameras, Action, just like the Steven Spielberg. This is a major special effects attraction at this park, and it features a special effects experience that's recreating a storm that's about to hit New York. And you're standing in this boat dock, and the effects, there are explosions, fire, wind, rain, everything, and things are dropping and all that happening all around you. And this is definitely an intense experience, and it's definitely worth to check out. Now, I'm standing outside the Pizza restaurant, and New York is also home to two restaurants, one the Lou's Pizza restaurant and the other one Kitty Grill. Kitty Grill is named after the chairman of Genting Group, and it serves, and it's the most high-class restaurant in the entire park, and it even has a private room on the second story that overlooks the Central Lagoon. It's prime viewing spot for the fireworks. It can be reserved in advance, just to show. So I'm standing outside the pizza restaurant, and you can definitely smell pizza from there. Okay, after heading a sharp left, I'm now in the sci-fi area of the park. This is where all the action is taking place, as Transformers ride just opened. This is a new experience, a completely groundbreaking ride technology. For those of you who are familiar with the Spider-Man ride, this is Spider-Man 2.0. It's basically a motion-based simulator ride with guests wearing 3D glasses looking at 3D projection screens. And all these effects blend seamlessly with the physical set around you, recreating a massive epic battle that's happening right in the middle of this sci-fi city. So at this entrance, it's rather crowded over here because the queues and all that. And of course, there's also a restaurant right next to an attraction and a gift shop. So it's very much a hub of activity. There's also a shade cover over this part of the park, and it provides shade and protection. protection from the sun and the rain. Now walking down just a bit, I'm now right below Battlestar Galactica, the roller coaster. The roller coaster track literally is above our heads, and I can hear the trains just rumbling past. It's a very spectacular, a very dynamic area. The trains just going past above your head, engaging in aerial duels right above all the guests' head. And this portion, this dueling roller coaster is really very thrilling. With the human side, this human red side, as a sit-down coaster, it's generally much more gentle. There are no loops, no inversions, but it does kick in, it does pack in lots of punch with lots of G-forces. So I've experienced grey-ups before on the human side. As for the cyclone side, basically it is a much more intense roller coaster ride with inversions and loops and all that, but it's somehow not as thrilling as the human side, as the G-forces experienced over there are not that much, so it's more like a loop followed by a slow moving period, then loop, then another slow moving period. So it's like, yay, loop, okay, okay, quite slow, yay, another loop, okay, quite slow. Yeah, and this area is really exciting and dynamic to be in. Now, moving past Sci-Fi City, I'm now standing in ancient Egypt. This part of the park is one of the most spectacular themed lands, as the entire Revenge of the Mummy ride show building is created as has the facade of an ancient Egyptian tomb. So you can see lots of tall sculptures of ancient Egyptian gods, and basically a very authentic zone, and it just feels as though you're in Egypt. And of course, this portion of the park is also home to Revenge of the Mummy, one of the most spectacular, one of the most thrilling rides of the entire park. It's basically a dark ride that is also a roller coaster. The roller coaster is rather gentle, but most of the action takes place in the dark. So you don't know where you're going, you don't know if the coaster is heading a left or doing a right turn. So that's the thrilling portion of the ride. Of course, also in that ride are also many show scenes that tells a compelling storyline that streams the entire ride together. Of course, all the other aspects of this theme land is also very well done, with authentic theming, an ancient Egyptian obelisk, and a very nice restaurant. So, if you were to move down in an anti-clockwise manner, you'll walk into the Lost World. This area of the park is dedicated to two of the movies, Jurassic Park, as well as Waterworld. Most of this theme land is themed to Jurassic Park, and it's home to many small-scale carnival rides, as well as a major headliner attraction, Jurassic Park River Rapids Adventure. If you were to move towards the back of this area, you'll actually see the splashdown of that ride, and it's a very fun thing to watch. And above your head is the Canopy Flyer, which is which is actually somewhat of a gliding ride, which seats 2x2, and it goes above your head, adding a sense of movement to the entire area. The Lost World is also home to Waterworlds, an epic stunt show that's, you know, a live-action stunt show featuring explosions, gunshots, firing, and all that. So it's really exciting to watch, and definitely you'll have to check that out. Now, moving past the Lost World, we're now in Far, Far Away, the home of Shrek. So, dominating the entire area is the Shrek Castle. And it's very beautiful, even though it's rather small. And also next to the castle is the Far Far Away Boulevard, which is home to many shops and restaurants, and it's themed to the Far Far Away Boulevard that you see in the Shrek movies, Shrek 2 and 3. Located in this area is, of course, Shrek 4D, the 4D movie experience, as well as Donkey Life, which is a rather interesting, you know, neat little show that offers interaction with between the audience and Donkey. So the Donkey can respond to all the actions and voice and all that from the audience. So perhaps Donkey might call out an audience and do a Q&A segment directly with them and all that. So it's all done through things like webcams and animation, you know, on-the-spot animation. So it's a very good attraction, very, very high energy attraction, and it's definitely worth checking out. Finally, we are at Madagascar Zone. This is a very lively zone of Universal Studios Singapore. It has a party atmosphere going on with lots of tropical vegetation and basically crazy architecture. The anchor attraction for this land is, of course, Madagascar A Great Adventure. This ride is a rather uneventful water ride through the show building, which tells the story largely of the first Madagascar film. This is entertaining for small kids, and it's worth riding, but there's not much of a kick to it. So that is one round around the entire park. It's not very big, it's very compact, but it does pack in lots of wonderful attractions. So that concludes our walk around the park. Hope you have enjoyed that. Okay, so now I'll be doing a restaurant review of meals done in the Universal Studios Center. This is the most prominent restaurant at Universal Studios Center. It's located right at the entrance to Hollywood Boulevard, and it's right along the lagoon of the park. So now I'm inside Mel's Dine In. The decor over here is very nice. It's designed to look like a US fast food dine-in in the 1960s. And they have very funky decor, reminiscent of the era gone by. And you know, the theming is done really well. Even the staff is dressed in period costume. As for the food over here, I've ordered a Shook Burger. It is a combination of things like chicken flails, onion ring, turkey bacon, beef patty, and all that. So it's a very unusual mix of all the different ingredients. Let me take the bite over here. So this burger over here, I don't really know how to describe it. The taste is unique, though I'm not very sure if it blends very well. It's quite bland and quite tasteless. I want to try the dessert that I have over here. It's something like an ice cream chocolate dish thing. Okay, it's not bad, it's rather sweet, not memorable at all. The fries here is also not that good, but it's just for your stomach. Well, it's good theme park food in that sense, but the prices might be a bit high. if you're talking about getting the same food, you know, food of the same quality outside. But it does serve well in filling your stomach, and why not? I mean, the decor over here is good, and it's right next to the lagoon, so it offers a very dramatic view of the entire park. It's a nice place to dine, and you might just want to come here to have a burger. Well, this has been the day, and I'm now back at the Hollywood area of the park, and waiting for Hollywood Dreams, a fireworks show that happens right above the lagoon. Today is Friday, so there is a showing of Hollywood Dreams, though it's, well, an additional ticket option is also available for those of you who want to come in after hours. It's called Hollywood After Hours. It's an add-on. All the rides and attractions will not be open, but the shops and restaurants will, and you get to watch, you know, the fireworks show. So it's a viable option. So it's about to start. They have turned off all the lights around the park. The roller coaster lights, they're off, and as well as the theme lighting on Madagascar, a great adventure. So we'll have to wait for a while. That's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening. As this show is for you, the listeners, so if you have any questions or feedback, please feel free to send me an email at universalssfan@gmail.com. That's universalssfan@gmail.com. Remember to subscribe to this show on iTunes, and if you like the show, leave a comment or simply just like the show on iTunes. It really helps. Also, visit our blog at yiountours.blogspot.com. That's ilungtours.blogspot.com for show notes and other resources. Help spread the word and tell your friends about the show. If they share the same passion for travel as you do, they will definitely enjoy the show. Please also visit our sister site, ussingapore.blogspot.com. That's ussingapore.blogspot.com. That is an unofficial fan site with articles and reviews and tips for Universal Studios Singapore. Again, I'll link to all this on the show notes. Singapore. Thanks. Look forward to seeing you again next fortnight. I'll also be posting up some bonus materials along the way. And remember to keep exploring.